Good morning, church family and ministry friends. This is Pastor Stephen Brooks. Welcome today to our online internet around the world church service. And I'm so glad that you are here today, especially with me on Pentecost Sunday. Can you say praise God? Isn't it wonderful to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Right now in the earth, and you know, we can't get it accurately, but those that study, the global church from a what they would call missiologist perspective, where they're looking for data, facts, figures, and things like that, it does appear that within the body of Christ, there are over 900 million Christians who speak in tongues. So if you meet somebody in the body of Christ who says, oh, we don't believe that, that's of the devil. Well, because of the great growth of the church in China, the church in Iran, the great growth of the church in on the continent of Africa, there are more Christians that speak in tongues than those who do not. And even within the Catholic Church, you also have all of the charismatic Catholics, and that's a whole bunch of them. So really, what we would call perhaps the battle of cessationist, it's already been won, because we know that tongues did not cease. God's miracle power did not cease. So for those that kind of still stay in a unorthodox stance and hold to that old stuff, you know, all those paradigms are shifting, and people are beginning to realize that we need the power of God, and it's still available today. Praise God. Now, we celebrate Pentecost, and also let me say a big God bless you to everybody that pulled in on the glory train, and you are jumping off on the Pentecost station. Amen. You were up with me praying early every morning and seeking God, praying in tongues. So for those of you that actually completed that very, very challenging assignment of getting up before the sun broke on the horizon, spending 2 hours, 24 minutes in prayer in tongues, email me at contact@stephenbrooks.org. Let me know that you made it. I'd like to send something special to you, a little blessing. Amen. I know that was a real challenge, but I know also for many, and that was a lot, many who did it, but maybe didn't quite fulfill the full assignment, yet you realize it was still life-changing. And perhaps you will not get up this early following tomorrow or the days to come, but nevertheless, something has been established in you. There was an old saying that you could form a habit in 21 days, and that kind of became like a popular statement in motivational speeches, but scientists knew and know today that that's not true. It actually takes somewhere around the time of 64, 65, 66 days of doing it every single day before something becomes a habit in your life. And I do believe that something has broken forth new in your life, where you may not get up at 4 and you may not get up at 3:45 a.m., but you will nevertheless get up earlier perhaps than you ever have before and still end up spending more time in prayer than you have before. And that's really what the whole impetus of this was. But for those of you who actually went all the way through and you jumped off the glory train today at Pentecost Station, email me and let me know, okay? I'd love to hear from you. I want to send something to you. Make sure when you email me, send me your mailing address, please. I probably have it on file here in our ministry offices, but just in case, make sure you include that. Praise the Lord. Now, let's receive the tithes today. And of course, I also want to give you an opportunity to sow a special Pentecost offering, because out of the three major feasts, which would be Passover, Pentecost, which is where we're at today, and then Tabernacles later in the fall, all of the male Jews would come up to Jerusalem, and those that were married would bring their wives and their children, etc., and they would come up and, you know, just have one of the great feasts of the Lord and celebrate the Lord and have a wonderful time getting together there in Jerusalem, and they would always bring an offering. So before we bring the tithes and offerings in, let me read a neat scripture to you. It's in Acts chapter 2, but we are familiar with the history of Pentecost. The Jewish people believe that when Moses went up on Mount Sinai and received the law, received the Ten Commandments, that they believe that that corresponds to the day of Pentecost. And so we can see many beautiful types and shadows. We see that Moses went up, came down with the law, And immediately after that, just wasn't very long after that, you had the Hebrew people getting into sin, and thus 3,000 people died under the law. But then on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, over in the New Testament, you see that when the Spirit was poured out on that day, because God works with these feast days, and He always will. They are open portal days. We see that following the outpouring of the Spirit, 3,000 people were saved. So we thank God that we are in a better covenant. But I want to bring something out prophetically today that I believe will minister to your heart. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So we're on that day today. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. My friends, we know about the outpouring of the Spirit. We know how the Spirit came upon those in the upper room, 120. There were originally 500, over 500 that saw the Lord after He was raised from the dead, but only 120 were still hanging out, still hungry enough to be in that upper room praying when the Holy Spirit came down in great power, cloven tongues on the top of each person's head, and they all spoke with other tongues. Praise God. And so we see the beauty of that. But my friends, the emphasis in many ways is the suddenness in which the Holy Spirit came in. And those in the upper room, and I've been there, and those of you have traveled to Israel, most of you have probably made it also to the upper room. It is a place where they probably weren't quite sure what was going to happen. But this is one thing to know. It happened suddenly. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. I believe that you're going to find yourself as you sow your Pentecostal offering. I believe you're going to see sudden breakthroughs. I want you to sow with an expectancy that you will be suddenly out of debt. Not in 30 years. No. Suddenly, God can move, and within a very rapid period of time, the whole debt is paid off. Praise God. Some of you, you're looking for a better place to live. Maybe you're not in a good neighborhood, and maybe you don't qualify for this or that or the other, but you're sowing your seed, and I declare over your life and over your seed that you're going to have a sudden harvest, and a door is going to open for you to get into a place that truly demonstrates the goodness of God smiling upon your life. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah. A place where you look forward to going home to after work. Your own castle. Mm-mm. Get ready, because we are in a season of suddenly. And the prodigals are going to come home suddenly. Woo, praise God. They're just going to suddenly show up. And they're ready to be restored back to God and be restored back into close relationship with family. Praise the Lord. This is a time for suddenly. So at this time, let's continue to be faithful with the tithes. That's 10% of all of our increase, 10% of our income. We bring it into the storehouse of God. And on Pentecost, we also sow a special Feast of Pentecost seed, and let's also bring that into the storehouse now at this time. Okay, so there's a couple of ways that we can do this. Pick whichever one is easiest, most convenient for you. You can mail in your tithe and your special offering. You can send it to Stephen Brooks International, P.O. Box 717, Moravian Falls, North Carolina, 28654. Or you can bring it in online. Very simple. All you have to do is go to the ministry website, stephenbrooks.org. Look up at the top. There's a header that says Give Online. Now, if you're on your smartphone, and a lot of people give through their smartphones instead of a laptop or a PC. If you're on your smartphone, just look up in the upper right corner of stephenbrooks.org. Look at the upper right corner. There's three lines. Touch that little three-line icon. And there's your drop-down menu, and you'll see Give Online. Okay, so click Give Online. When you do that, it takes you to the giving page. There on the giving page, you'll see a little menu that says Fund, F-U-N-D. Click that. There's your drop-down menu. You'll see the area for the tithe. And as you kind of scroll down, you'll see the area for Pentecost. Okay, so click Pentecost, and that's where you can bring in your Pentecost offering. Also, It's very easy to give through your cell phone. You can give through texting. So all you have to do is text the word GIVE to this number, 336-815-5111. You can text the word GIVE, and a link is sent to you, and right there from that link on your cell phone, you could send in your Pentecost offering, and you could also bring your tithes in through that format as well. All of these formats of giving are super safe, very secure, and also very simple. So at this time, let me pray over your special giving. Praise God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the covenant practitioners, those who walk in financial wealth through the avenue of the covenant of increase. Father, as they're bringing in their tithes and as they're sowing their special Pentecost offering during this feast day, I pray, Father, that they know a suddenly in their life. Father, I'm not trying to do this just to be excited, to stir something up like naturally, but I was quickened by your Spirit, and I am excited in my heart that they are actually going to have a bona fide, genuine, suddenly in their life. They can say, I know through experience, not just up here in my head, but I know through experience that I have encountered a suddenly where God came through and it was sudden, and suddenly the thing is gone that needed to go. Or suddenly the thing arrived that you have been trusting God to bring in. Suddenly the door opened that you had knocked for so long on, or suddenly the prodigal comes home. Oh my goodness, praise God. This is Pentecost. Father, this is an open portal season during the feast days. So Father God, I just pray over their seed, suddenly anointing. It's going to happen for them. Now, Father, we give you praise. We thank you for increase in the finances of your people. More than enough, overflow. We give you all of the praise. Thank you, Father God, for the hedge of protection round about them because they're tithers. Father, we give you all of the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And together we say, amen. Woo, praise God, amen. Let me know also about your suddenly. These suddenlies can be, they can be kind of like sneaky where they sneak in and it's so smooth, so easy. It almost looks natural, but it's not. It's the Lord working. And then there is the other element where sometimes it can be a little bit like fireworks or a whole lot like fireworks where something just comes in so big, so life-changing in a sense, where it alters many things about your life in a very positive way, and it just suddenly, almost like out of the blue, comes in. That's God's goodness. That's also your harvest, praise God. But get ready for it, because you're going to know a suddenly, just like they did. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Something from heaven is already on the way to you, and it's coming how? Suddenly, praise God. Glory to God. Amen. You're blessed. Praise the Lord. Now today, on this Pentecost message, I'd like to talk about impacting your world. And let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for my church family online. I thank you for every ministry partner. I thank you, Father, for those who have a heart for this ministry and sow and give into it and also pray for it. Father, I just thank you that your people are destined to make an impact, and they're going to. And Father, they want to. So I pray today as insights are released that they can take these and apply them, and they're going to see everything that you've called them to do accomplished. And Father, they're going to see also that who you've called them to be in Christ will also be fully realized. Now, Father, we thank you. We thank you for this open portal day and this glorious week of multiplication and sudden glory. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Let me begin today by saying that every believer is redeemed and is now a candidate for making an impact. And, you know, Jesus said that we are the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. We're a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. But here's the thing. He said that we are the light of the world, not the light of heaven. God's the light of heaven. There's no darkness anywhere. We know that there's not even shadows in heaven. But we need to be illuminated. Where? Here. We are the light of the earth, light of the world, not of heaven. We are the salt of earth. Why? Salt, it stops the decaying process. You don't need salt in heaven. I mean, if you want some, you could probably sprinkle some on your food. I'm sure there'll be some that's there, but we don't need salt in that sense of stopping decay, because there is none of that in heaven. So we are the salt of the earth, and we are also those who are illuminated, lit up by God, like a city. Praise God. So God does not want you just simply in a sense to be successful, but God wants you to be impactful so that you can be a blessing to people. Praise God. Now, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 12, that if you believe in me, you're going to do greater works. So we see this great impact that Jesus made, where people all over the world love him and have received him as their Lord and Savior. And so the impact goes on every single day. And when you look at the lives of the apostles, the 12, and you see the impact that they made, you also look at the apostle Paul. It's staggering that although they lived, over 1900 years ago, we still see the staggering effect of the impact that they made. You know, I've shared this before, but when I was in South India, in Chennai, it used to be called, the old name for it was Madras. But if you go to South India, down to Chennai, that is where the Apostle Thomas is buried. And I've been to his gravesite. There is a piece of one of his bones that is actually on display. It's part of his heel. Praise the Lord. And but that's where he's buried. But outside of his burial place, there is a huge sign, and it lists all of the miracles that Thomas the Apostle did there in India. And it numbers even all of the blind people who received their sight and all of the paralyzed people, and on it goes. It really is quite profound. And just that one apostle ministered very effectively in India, ministered in what we know as modern day Pakistan. And he even ventured into, one time he ventured even into China. But the thrust of his ministry was primarily in India. And that impact is still felt today. I have been told that there are two churches that he planted while he was in India. He planted many, but there's two that are still functioning today, that have been functioning through all the centuries and all of the wars and all of this and that. They're still functioning. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So we see that we are destined to make an impact. Now, Matthew chapter 11, and verse 11. Let's take a look at that just for a moment today. 11:11. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven, are you ready for this, is greater than he. Wow, that's powerful. When you think about all of the heavyweights of the Old Testament, you think about David, Isaiah, who wrote one of the most beautiful books in the Bible. You think about Moses, of course, Elijah, all of these epic men and women. And it's just incredible. But look what Jesus said again. He said, he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he, greater than John the Baptist. And he identified as John being the greatest. Why? Why was John greater? He didn't do any miracles. How could he be greater than Moses? Because all of the ones before John said, one day he's coming. One day the great prophet is coming. One day the Mashiach, the Messiah, he's coming. But John was the only one out of all of them. He was the only one who had the sovereign divine privilege to say, that's him right there. See that guy walking on the bank of the river over there? His disciples said, yes. John said, that's him. That's the Savior of the world. Wow. So he was the only one that had that esteem privilege to be the forerunner of the Messiah. But even Jesus said, if you're in the kingdom, you're greater than he. So what kind of an impact are you going to make when Jesus is speaking things like this over your life, over my life? Glory to God. Now, Proverbs chapter 4, let's look just for a moment, verse 18. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. Look, your days of maybe going backwards or your days of looking back and saying yesteryear was more glorious, all that stuff is over. You'll never know another backward step for the rest of your life. Why? Because things are shining brighter and brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. So whether you go to be with the Lord or whether the Lord comes and takes us to be with Him, either way, the glory is rising on the church and it's rising on you and it's getting brighter. It's not getting duller. It's getting brighter. So I don't see any more backward trends in your life ever happening again. Say yes. Woo, praise God. You're going to keep going forward and your walk with God is going to go forward. If you have your own business, your business is not retreating, it's going forward. If you're a minister and you're watching me, your ministry will never be smaller than what it is at this very moment. It's only going to increase, expand, and grow larger and get brighter and brighter. And by the way, that's God's agenda for you. Mm-mm. As the seed of Abraham, we are redeemed to be a blessing to the world. Because we see in Scripture that in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So every seed of Abraham has within it the potential for international, even a global type influence. Mm-mm. You know, just like you can have a global business. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it's in all 222 nations of the earth, but still, you can be touching many. The various networks that we're on and the various TV stations that we're on, we're actually in over 200 nations. I think maybe like 212 nations of the world I'm in every single week. Wow, praise the Lord. So this seed of Abraham, which is to be a blessing to the world, my friends, it's real. It is so real. I remember years back, like 20 years ago, watching a certain network, and I loved that network. And I thought, wow, this is so cool to watch this network. Never in my wildest dreams would I thought one day I'll be on it. I couldn't really, at that time in my mind, go there. But the Lord called me into a television ministry, and television ministry really is a calling. And you want that calling to be there, because if not, it could really hurt you financially. But when God calls you, He also provides, and He will send the supporters, and He will send the provision to come in. And that is one of the great indicators of the calling, is that the provision will be there. But that one network that I used to look at and think, wow, that's so cool. Wow, I like watching this network. I'm on it multiple times every week all over the world. Woo, praise God. A global citizen living here in North Carolina, yet a global citizen of the world. Come on, your product, businessmen, businesswomen, your product could go all over the world. Look, if you have toothpaste as your product, it's not like they don't brush their teeth in other countries. Your product should be in those countries as well. Mm-mm. You're a child of Abraham. Mm-mm. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are designed by God to be a blessing, not to be a burden. The Bible is God's manual for profitable living. Please say that with me. Say profitable, not deplorable, profitable living. So the Bible is God's manual for profitable living. Let's look at this in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, and we're going to verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So I like this area of God's Word where we know it's profitable. In other words, it eliminates guesswork of thinking, well, maybe this won't work. No, it's profitable, very, very profitable. So those who live by the Word in some ways can't help but to make an impact. I mean, even if you're not like even really directly trying, if you're living by the Word because it's profitable, you're going to make an impact. Praise God. But we're talking about living by the Word. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So the word is designed to profit us. Woo, praise God. And that profit is drawn out by our faith. Faith simply means putting God's word to work. Did you ever stop to think about it like that? There's many different definitions that we could define the beautiful subject of faith, but it really means putting God's word to work. Faith is not just believing God. Faith is obeying God to prove that we believe Him. Oh, I've got to say it again. Let that get into your spirit today on this beautiful Pentecost Sunday. Catch this again. Faith is not just believing God. Faith is obeying God to prove that we believe Him. Oh, praise God. Now, we know that James said, I'll show you my faith by my works. You can have the maximum pull upon the treasures, the promises in the Word by living by the Word. Hallelujah. All of these promises, all of these treasures in the Word, you get into them by living by the Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 through 10. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels. Woo, the glory that excels. My friends, we are living now in the era of the glory that excels. Let me say that one more time. We are living right now, not going to, right now, we are living in the era of the glory that excels. Mm-mm. So let that exceeding glory affect the way that God wants to make impact through you. Far above the glorious things we've seen in the Old Testament, oh, far above that is what God has destined for you to experience. The coming of the Lord Jesus is drawing near, so we don't want to slumber or be asleep spiritually so that we can make the most of our calling in this end time era. Woo, praise God. So, my friends, if this is true, and it certainly is, then why are there those in the body of Christ who are not tasting success and aren't making any type of impact at all? Well, I believe the primary reason for this is because of what could be identified as being the affliction of ignorance. The affliction of ignorance. And it's like it's a disease that's worse than any type of physical disease. And we see a great example of this disease defined in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. This is God speaking through the prophet. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, not lack of prayer or fasting, although I teach prayer and fasting because those are biblical principles. But God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, lack of knowledge. Isaiah in chapter 5 says something very, very similar. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13. Therefore, my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Wow. Praise the Lord. So captivity or imprisonment or being hedged in, or as agonizing as it is also, hedged in or kept on the same spot, and you just can't move, you can't make any progress. All of that is due to lack of knowledge. lack of knowledge. So what does it mean? It means it's time to come awake spiritually and really plug in and begin to live by the word. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19 is very straightforward about this. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. See, God doesn't just say choose, he says choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Oh, praise God. So, my friends, we have made the choice and we are choosing life. The dominion of light over darkness is instant, and you can't question it, because when you flip the light on, darkness is forced to go. Whenever light steps in, darkness or ignorance begins to step out. We see this in Psalm 119 and in verse 130. The entrance of your words, it gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. So light makes life outstanding. Catch that. Light, the illumination of the word, light makes life outstanding. Praise the Lord. Let's go back to a familiar chapter, Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness to people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. So in the kingdom of God, you gain elevation, even to the point of flight by light. That's how you fly. You fly by light. Verse 8, who are these who fly like a cloud and like doves to their roost? My friends, here in the state of North Carolina, the Wright brothers, Orville and Wilbur Wright, they caught through light, through revelatory knowledge, the basic laws of lift and what causes an airplane to get up and stay up. And there on the beach at Kitty Hawk on the coast of North Carolina, they were the first in flight. If you ever visit North Carolina, you'll notice our state license plate says first, not last, first in flight. But what if that light would have broke forth in the year 1232 AD? We'd have been flying 800 years ago. How come we were not flying in the Middle Ages? How come none of the medieval knights were not flying around? How come nobody back in the age of the dinosaurs were flying around? That light had not yet broke forth. So you fly by light. Light produces flight. And that's how it works in the kingdom. Isaiah 60, verse 22. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. Again, watch this. A little one shall become a thousand. Well, I'm not much, Pastor Stephen. Well, God can make you with the strength of a thousand. And a small one, a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. And that time is here. Light has power to make a strong nation of a person. Woo! Glory to God. Men and women, by grace, much stronger even than nations. That's the word of God. Well, how could ever something like that be, Pastor Stephen? Well, did you know that if God moves you into a position where you're debt-free, did you know you're already ahead of the most over 200 nations? There's only five nations on the planet, only five out of the hundreds, only five that are debt-free. So what does that mean if you're debt-free? You're ahead of some nations, most of them actually. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Abraham, he had his own army. Wow, he had an army. Isaac became the envy of those nations around him just by obeying God in one simple commandment. You shall not go down to Egypt. Woo! And out of that, he became the envy. Oh, he had opposition. The Philistines weren't happy that he stayed, and they gave him some trouble and some challenges. But even still, because he obeyed God, he prevailed And he became the envy of all of the surrounding nations. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You also are going to experience a turnaround when you choose to line up with every aspect of the truth of God's Word. When you choose to do that, your turnaround is assured. Praise God. So we need to know this also. It's not just enough to gain access to the light. You must walk in the light. In other words, you must put it to work. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. I'm so glad that you're here with me on Pentecost Sunday, getting loaded up with the Word so that you're empowered to do what God's called you to do. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, "For you were once darkness." Obviously not anymore. You once were. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." Yes, Pastor Stephen, we're light. Yes, now watch this. Walk as children of light. What does it mean to walk as children of light? It means this is your lifestyle. This is how you live. Goodbye, darkness. I'm done with you. Darkness is out of me. The light is now in me, and I'm in the light. And so what do? To continue, we walk in the light. So it's a thing to walk in, not just a thing to hear about. It's not a thing to just also casually assume. You're very focused on this walk. Everything you do, you endeavor to measure by the light of God's Word. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. Let's turn over there just for a moment. "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth," above all nations of the earth. So there is a place for every believer, including you. There's a place for you at the top. Mm-mm. And you get there simply by doing what God tells you to do. Praise the Lord. So this is the manual that we follow. If you have a car, your new car has a manual. If you are a technician that works on that car, you have a much more technical manual. Well, we have the full manual right here. If you ever buy an airplane, you get a manual that goes with that airplane of how to operate it. So this is our operational manual. Praise God. And whatever God tells you in his Word, that, my friends, is what we do. We don't just hear it, we also do it. And this is important because in certain areas, let's talk for a moment like dreams. Dreams can come from God, but it's very easy to misinterpret a dream. You could have a vision, but even the devil, Satan himself, can transform himself into an angel of light and has appeared to many in visions and has deceived them with a lie. So dreams can be misinterpreted. Visions can even at times be fake, but there will never be any believer on earth who lives by the instructions of scriptures who won't have a great future. There will never be any believer on earth who lives by the instructions of scriptures who won't have a great future. Wow, praise God. Darkness does not have the ability to build a barricade against light. And as light approaches, darkness will always give way. And this is why you cannot be walking in the light and ever, how can we say, be stranded. It's just not possible. It's not possible when you're walking in the light of the Word. So in some ways, it's actually very simple. You allow the Word of God to dictate your steps. And my friends, don't let any person or any pressuring situation coerce you into doing something that is a direct violation of God's Word. Well, Pastor Stephen, I want to fit in. Well, we all do, but I want to fit into God's will more than I want to fit into anything else. I want to fit into the alignment of the Word more than I want to make somebody happy. Maybe somebody that doesn't even like me, right? But so let's focus on lining up with the Word. Don't let people bend you out of that commitment. Thank you, Jesus. In other words, stay in God's will. Stay in it, even when it's not convenient. And sometimes it won't be. Matthew chapter 26, Matthew 26, verse 39. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." So stay with God's will in the center of it, even when it's not convenient. What you know does not necessarily change you. It's what you do with what you know that brings forth the change that you've been looking for so long. Mm-mm. What you know does not change you. It's what you do with what you know that brings forth the change. Oh, praise God. James chapter 1. James 1, verse 22. "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Praise God. So, my friends, let's keep these things in mind going into this new week. And no matter how hard you pray, let me say this, that you can't deal with darkness because obedience is the central key in the eyes of God. I do know a lot of Christians, they pray real strong, but there's some areas they're not willing to pull the slack out of. There's some areas of compromise they're not willing to face. And so, even if they're praying and things like that, rebuking, the darkness is kind of still hanging around. But we're going to do the right thing. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, praise God. Verse 46. "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? So no matter how hard you pray, you can't deal with darkness because obedience is the central key. It's the central focus in the eyes of God. No matter what you say, even if you work, let's say for the electric company, that doesn't mean that you're going to have light in your house. There are certain things you have to do to have that light activated in your home. And outside of obedience, nothing works. It's not going to. It's not going to. I've actually heard some ministers present that it doesn't really matter how you live your life, long as you do maybe do this or that, it'll work. No, obedience is central. Praise God. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Thank you, Lord, today. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. "So Samuel said, 'Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed or to pay attention is better than the fat of rams.'" Woo, glory to God. So to obey is better than sacrifice. So in your walk with God, let there be a delightful obedience. Just receive the grace right now to walk in delightful obedience. Any discovery you make in the Word and the things that you know, that you obey with great joy in your heart. Praise the Lord. John chapter 2, John chapter 2, verse 3. "And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no wine.' Verse 5, his mother said to the servants, 'Whatever he says to you, do it.'" Ooh, glory to God. Woo, hallelujah. Do it. In other words, no pressure. Just do it. And they did it. And the result was sweeter wine than anything they'd ever had before. Praise God. And that really is a beautiful example of how amazing obedience can be. Obedience, yeah, at times it can be costly, but the end result is priceless. The end result is so sweet. Mm-mm. Praise God. When you look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 13, and all of those beautiful promises and blessings, you have to understand that obedience facilitates all of those blessings, that no effort, no skill, no strength can ever generate, but your obedience can. And when you're obedient, oh, there's no pressure. There's no striving. You're not trying to pound a square peg through a round hole. You're just doing the right thing and things are working. Why? Because that's God's way and God's doing His thing. Mm-mm. Say I'm blessed. Say I'll never be stranded or stagnant another day of my life. Praise God. Praise God. This one's really very interesting. John chapter 9. John 9. Let's take a look at that just for a moment. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. John chapter 9, this would be verse 7. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Jesus talking to a blind man. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Well, why? Why go there? How come I can't? There's a Holiday Inn right down the road. They've got a swimming pool. How come I can't go there and wash there? That's the way some people are. Been in church for 30 years, still doing stuff like that with the Lord. Still trying to, question everything. And instead of just obeying and just going, well, why go there? And by the way, how am I supposed to get there? I'm blind. I can't even see how to get there. Well, look, ask somebody to lead you to the pool. And so what happened when he obeyed? He obeyed, so he went and washed. And what happened? He came back seeing. Isn't that amazing? No, not really. Just obey. It works over and over and over again. Praise God. Obedience. Simple obedience ended this man's lifelong frustration. He came back seen. Praise God. Praise God. I like the crazy story of Jesus. John chapter 21, verse 6, right around that area where they're out fishing. And, you know, the apostles, they aren't catching anything. They're frustrated, and now they're hungry, and now they're tired. Fished all night, didn't catch anything. Jesus says, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. Yeah, right, that's going to make a big difference, right? Like, that's going to do anything. Why even try? No. Throw your net on the right side of the boat. Some people argue with God. Instead of just instant obedience, done joyfully. They're like, well, what difference does that make? Left side, right side. The difference is that he said to do it. Mm-mm. He said to do it. And that makes all the difference in the world. That's where the profitability is at. That's where the positive results are at. That's where the sweetness is at. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity. Throw your net on the right side. The simplicity. Go wash at the pool Siloam. Just do what he says. Mary caught it and she knew it. Whatever he says to do, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Praise God. So here's what I want to bring it around to. Making an impact in God's kingdom is not a result of luck, skill, or connections, but rather it's a product of applied revelation. In other words, God shows you what to do, then you engage yourself in the work of it, and you impact the world around you. It's just that simple. Mm-mm. Daniel chapter 11. I know that you love this one. Daniel 11, verse 32. But the people who know their God, and that's you, the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Mm-mm. So, strength, great exploits. It's by the covenant of scriptures that we do exploits. Again, it's by the covenant of scriptures that we do exploits. And the covenant highway, it may appear slow. Well, Pastor Stephen, I'm living in the Word, walking in the Word. I'm letting the Word wash and renew my mind. So let's understand that the covenant highway may appear slow, but it is 100% dependable. It will get you to where God says you're supposed to be, and that is a place of great blessing. That is a place of heavy impact. Praise God. So is it not better to be slow and sure instead of being fast and you end up falling? So take God's covenant highway. You'll never regret it. You'll never regret it. Praise God. Every provision in our redemption package has conditions to meet in order for it to be delivered where we experience it in our lives. And when we meet the conditions, the Bible describes that as the joining of a covenant. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18 is a great example of this. Deuteronomy chapter 8, praise the Lord. Let me jump over there real quick. I had so many notes today, I ran out of places to put my notes. Verse 18, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which you swore to your fathers as it is this day." So people get real excited about the scripture, the power to get wealth, but they don't keep reading in order to see that it is covenant-based. So if you want to step into the wealth provision, then you step into that covenant. So you find it and you follow it. And as you engage the covenant of scriptures, you'll never, ever be in a place where you're stuck and you can't make the progress that you're supposed to be experiencing. So, my friends, obedience is the validation of your faith. Praise God. And what you don't believe, you don't obey. And what you don't obey, you also don't really believe it. Mm-mm. So obedience is the validation of your faith. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 17. Let me grab a drink of some hot tea. Excuse me just a moment. Isaiah 48, verse 17. "Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit." Now that's something we all have an interest in. "Who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go." My friends, you can't lead yourself into making an impact. He has to lead you. He has to lead you. Praise God. Again, God told Isaac, don't go down to Egypt. But you have to understand, that's what everybody else was doing. I mean, there's famine. It's not raining. This is an economic oven that's baking at 800 degrees. And so he's seen everybody else make a run for it going south down to Egypt. He's thinking of doing the same thing. God says, don't do it. Don't do it. So he stays there and he sows in the land, and he reaped 100-fold that year. I mean, it was miraculous. What's it based off? Don't go down into Egypt. So obedience is what lifted him up, where even now he has become an envy of the Philistines. And they're like, how is it working for him? How is it working for him? Because he's hearing from God and he's walking in obedience. So don't just invest in anything you see. Allow Jesus to lead you. I mean, I heard Warren Buffett the other day make a statement. You know, he's not a Christian or anything like that, but he did say, you know, with AI, artificial intelligence, it is creating a false world for investors where people are being presented things that are not as they actually are. So we're hearing all this stuff today about electric flying vehicles, electric flying cars, and this and that, and all of these things. And AI is able to generate images of this stuff doing these things that these things actually aren't doing. Very few are doing it. But even if they are doing it, maybe they're just doing it for a few minutes. And what good is it if it only operates a couple of minutes? That's not going to work very long. So it's like it's so many things people are biting on, but they're not being led. So don't just invest in anything you see. Allow Jesus to lead you. So there is no provision of Scripture that does not have conditions to meet. Wow. No Christian ever outgrows the need for divine direction. Pastor Stephen, I'm 99 years old in 11 months. Well, no Christian ever outgrows the need to have divine direction. And God always leads forward, not backward. Praise God. So let me wrap it up. Don't wait for impact. Engage the covenant terms for scriptures and you'll make an impact. You see what I'm saying? Some people, they want to make an impact or something like that. But don't so much focus on making the impact. That's going to happen. That's a byproduct. Engage the covenant terms for scriptures that are required to make impact. And let me add this. Impact is always at a cost. And the capital cost of impact is sacrifice. I really do appreciate the sacrificial offerings that those of you are making on Pentecost Sunday. I really do appreciate it. God sees it. God's going to bless you in a great way. So impact is always at a cost, and the capital cost, the greatest cost of impact, is sacrifice. Praise God. Now, we want to have impact not to make a name, but to primarily be a blessing to people. And impact is a result, an overall result of a quality covenant walk with God. Not a one-time experience, but a walk with God. Again, impact is a result of a quality covenant walk with God. My friends, from this day forward, you're going to begin to see the reverberations that God is making through you. Maybe small, but they will reach further and further and further and further. And it will even affect nations and peoples, perhaps on other sides of the planet that you've never met. And you may not even meet some of them in this lifetime, but the day will come when you'll be in heaven. And they'll say, hey, because of your giving, I heard the gospel. Or, hey, I used your product. I really liked your product. It helped my body, made me feel better. I liked your product. It solved the problem that we were facing here in our country. Thank you for allowing God to work through you and bringing that to market and also making it available in our country because it makes us real happy. Whatever it is. Well, Pastor Stephen, how does that apply to me? I write music. They should hear your music. How come your music's not over there? They'd like it. Whatever it is, praise God. Don't get tied local. The Abrahamic blessing is too strong for that. I know preachers locally who preach their sermon to the people that are there, and the moment he says amen and he's done, it's all over. It's not streamed. It's not recorded. It's not backed up on CD. It's not backed up on MP4. It's not backed up on anything. It goes nowhere except within those four walls. But I see you making global impact for the glory of God, for the betterment of the lives of so many people. Lift your hands. Father, I pray for those that are listening with an open heart. I pray that the seed of your word produce 100-fold in their lives of great productivity, of an impact where people's lives, the value of living is greatly increased because of the impact that they're making. The joy level goes up because of the impact that they're making. The peace level is expanded because of the impact they're making. Marriages are saved because of the impact that they're making. Their business is not only raised up, they raise up other businesses and mentor young businessmen and businesswomen because of the impact they're making. Now, Father, we give you praise. I see the rise of global giants before my eyes. I thank you, Father God. Bless them. We thank you for the grace for impact, the grace for delightsome obedience. In Jesus' name, agree and say with me, amen. Praise God. If you're watching today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, choose him today so that you can live life to the fullest. He'll take care of your sin problem. He'll make you ready for heaven, but he'll also allow you to live the full life expression that he pre-planned before you were ever born to enjoy. Pray this right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Please forgive me. Save me now. Wash me clean with your precious blood. Write my name in your book of life and step into my life and lead me and guide me from this day forward so that I can make the impact that you have planned for me to make. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In your name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God. Now, let's take Holy Communion on Pentecost Sunday. Grab some unleavened bread. Grab a little cracker. And grab some grape juice. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for the bread and the juice. Through this prayer, we set it apart as being holy. We thank you that this is the body, the body and the blood of Jesus. Father, as we receive the Lord's flesh, we thank you for strength. We thank you for understanding of our destiny and our purpose, and that we're here to make a very positive impact in the lives of people. Father, we thank you. We thank you. Now we receive the Lord's flesh. We give you all of the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's receive together. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for suddenlies. We thank you for suddenlies this week. We thank you for debts paid off, all bills paid, every need met. We thank you for overflow. We thank you for wisdom and divine strategy of what we are to do with the overflow. We thank you, Father God. We thank you that you are moving by your Spirit. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. My friends, thank you for joining me today. Those of you, again, that finished the glory train and you walked that all the way through and you hit the station today and jumped off the train, okay, email me. Send me your mailing address. Email me at contact@stephenbrooks.org, okay? Praise God. And for everybody else, get up early and pray. Try to pray in tongues at least an hour a day. You know, the Apostle Paul told the church in Corinth, I pray in tongues more than you all. And the revelatory knowledge that he walked in was so amazing, so incredible. Praise God. Amen. And you're going to see light begin to flood into you in greater measures. Praise the Lord. Walk in obedience and get ready for a heavy, heavy impact. Father, I speak blessing over your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great Pentecost week.